Now, Pfizer announced that its vaccine is safe and extremely effective for kids as young as 12. Even though severe cases of COVID are rare in children, it can still happen. And U.S. Chief Medical Advisor Dr. Anthony Fauci has said that children will probably need to be vaccinated in order to achieve herd immunity overall. Pfizer is not the only company testing to see if its vaccine works for kids. Moderna started clinical trials of its vaccine for kids between 12 and 17 in December. And Johnson & Johnson will start working with children soon, too. We're talking about the COVID vaccine for children and how vaccinating kids could play a part in ending the pandemic. And you could join in at 800-642-1234. Parents, if the FDA approves COVID vaccines in use for kids, how you feel about that? Will you have your children vaccinated? What questions do you have for a pediatrician about the COVID vaccine and kids? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas at WPR.org. Dr. Nipuni Rajapakse is a pediatric infectious disease physician at Mayo Clinic Children's Center. Dr. Rajapakse, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me back. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, what do you make of this news? Pfizer, this vaccine in kids from 12 to 15, looking pretty good, it sounds like.
Yeah, this is really exciting news for us as pediatricians and pediatric infectious disease specialists. What they announced yesterday is more that exceeds what we thought we would see in terms of efficacy of vaccine in kids. So yesterday, Pfizer released that the vaccine generates a really excellent, robust immune response in kids 12 to 15 years of age. And it was studied in about 2,200 adolescents. And of the adolescents who received the vaccine, none ended up developing COVID-19 infection. And so that's just really excellent news that we need at this point in the pandemic, because it gives us hope that we will hopefully have a vaccine for this age group soon, hopefully by the beginning of the next school year. And even better, when they looked at side effects, they did not see any serious side effects in that age group, and the vaccine was very well tolerated. So really exciting information released by Pfizer yesterday. There are still some more steps that they need to go through, including presenting the information to the FDA to see whether we will get emergency use authorization to expand the lower age limit down. But the initial information that we've seen looks really promising.
Yeah. What would be the timeline if they give this info to the FDA and they approve it? What would be the timeline when they could get that emergency use authorization for this younger age group?
So it's a little bit difficult to predict. Obviously, everything needs to be reviewed really closely to make sure that the vaccine is effective, the vaccine is safe before anything gets approved. And so that generally happens at least over the course of a few weeks. But we're hopeful, given these results, that things seem to be lining up for a possible vaccine to be available for this age group before the school year starts.
A question that I've seen floating around out there is, you know, given that kids of that age, they seem to be less vulnerable to the ravages of COVID-19, why would we be excited about a vaccine for this age group? What would you tell people to sell this to them?
So I think there's a few really important things to understand about COVID-19 and children. One is that we know children of all ages can be infected, and children of all ages can transmit the infection. And so certainly they could play a role in transmitting infection to others who may be at higher risk of more severe illness. Secondly, there have been children who have required hospitalization. In fact, over about 14,000 children in the United States have been hospitalized due to COVID-19. And unfortunately, we've had around 300 children who have died either of COVID-19 infection or the related multisystem inflammatory syndrome, a condition that can occur rarely in kids who have had COVID-19 previously. And so while kids have been not impacted to the extent that adults have, it certainly can cause severe illness and deaths in that age group as well. And if we have something that can prevent that, of course, we want to offer that to children as well. Lastly, in terms of bringing this pandemic to the end, the vaccine is a really important tool in our toolkit. We need to achieve this concept of herd immunity, and there's two ways to get there. One is by people having natural infection, which comes with a lot of risk and risk of hospitalization and death. And the second way is through vaccination, where you derive immunity without that risk of having serious illness or side effects. And so about 25% of the population in the United States is under 18 years of age, and it'll be really hard to achieve the herd immunity threshold, which we think is somewhere between 70 to 90% if we don't vaccinate kids under 18 years of age.
And stepping away from kids for a moment, you mentioned that natural immunity because you got the disease and took all the consequent risks versus vaccine. It seems like I'm seeing research, Dr. Rajapakse, that suggests that vaccine immunity is more effective and maybe longer lasting than the immunity you get if you have that disease. What are you seeing in the research?
Yeah, so this is a really important question that people are studying and watching very closely. Unfortunately, the infection hasn't been around for all that long, and the vaccines are relatively new in their administration. And so we need some time to determine exactly how long immunity from natural infection and vaccination lasts. There have been some studies that suggest that the vaccine generates higher antibody levels than natural infection in some populations. And so that is suggestive that it may provide better protection, potentially longer lasting protection than having the infection itself. But I think we still need to understand a bit more and follow people who have had natural infection and vaccine for longer to know exactly how long the protection lasts.
Talking to Dr. Nipuni Rajapakse from Mayo Clinic Children's Center, pediatric infectious disease physician there, looking at the latest vaccine news and research on COVID-19 vaccines for kids right now in the 12 to 15 age range. You can join in with your questions at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Dr. Rajapakse, why do we treat kids under 16, say, differently than grown-ups when it comes to researching a vaccine and then putting out into public use?
So kids are generally considered to be a vulnerable population along with pregnant women. And so it is quite typical that when new vaccines are developed, they get studied in generally healthy adults first so that we can ensure they're efficacious and safe before we start to include some of these other more vulnerable populations. So that's exactly what was done in this situation here with the pandemic and with COVID-19. There are also other specific considerations when it comes to differences in the immune system of children and adults, which means that the studies in kids will be a bit different because we need to first identify what the optimal dosing strategy is in kids. Do they need a higher dose? Do they need a lower dose? Can they get the same dose as we're giving in adults? And once we identify what the optimal dosing strategy is, to then follow them and see how well they're protected by that dose. And so there's a lot of things that change in our immune system as we grow. The immune system of a 14-month-old child is quite different than the immune system of a 14-year-old or a 40-year-old. And so that's exactly why we need to do these clinical trials in these different age groups to verify that the vaccine is protective and safe in these populations as well.
Yeah, we started off talking about kids aged 12 to 15. What's the research timeline now for younger kids under 12 down to maybe those infants? What I assume that's a more delicate, sensitive research that might take longer.
Yeah, so these studies are now occurring. Just in the last couple of weeks, both Moderna and Pfizer have announced that they have started testing their vaccines in the 6 month to 12 year age groups. And they seem to be kind of progressively decreasing the age range. So mostly starting with kind of the 5 to 12 year age group and then progressively going down from there. And so these trials have just started enrolling in the last couple of weeks. And so we anticipate that there may be results by the end of 2021 and that the soonest that a vaccine may be available for some of those age groups would be in early 2022. But certainly there's a lot of things that can happen between now and then. And so those are all kind of predictions based on how it has gone with the other trials.
We're talking about COVID vaccines for kids and the overall vaccination effort. Dr. Nipuni Rajapakse is with us, pediatric infectious disease physician at Mayo Clinic Children's Center. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have a question about COVID-19 vaccines and the vaccination effort for kids or for grownups while we're at it? Do you feel safe sending your kids back to in-person school now? Would you feel safer with the COVID vaccine for kids? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas at WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our talk with pediatrician Dr. Nipuni Rajapakse about the COVID vaccine for kids and for grown-ups. She's with Mayo, and you could join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 with your questions about the latest on vaccines, maybe your own experience getting or giving vaccines if you're out there administering them yourself. That's 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Dr. Rajapakse, as you mentioned, this is, in the scope of things, a fairly new illness still. We've only had the vaccines for a while now. But what are we seeing now that we've got a lot of vaccines out there in the real world versus just in clinical trials? How effective do they seem to be at protecting people from getting the disease, or if they get it, from getting a severe version of the disease?
So currently we have three vaccines that have been authorized for emergency use. And now we have millions of people across the country who have received at least the first dose of vaccine, and many who have received two doses. And we're seeing that the vaccines, as they were shown in the clinical trials, are extraordinarily protective against severe COVID-19 disease, hospitalization, and death. Really, when you look at the rates, especially in long-term care centers, which were one of the first areas to receive vaccine and that were really struggling with their high-risk populations with a lot of illness and deaths, once vaccine was introduced into those settings, we saw a really dramatic reduction in illness and serious disease, especially. So the vaccines do seem to be performing in real world settings as they performed in the clinical trials, which is significantly reducing serious illness, hospitalizations, and deaths. That being said, there are a few challenges ahead, and we're in a very critical time in the pandemic now, especially with the rise of these different variants. And so we need to continue to monitor how effective the vaccines are as different variants start to become more prominent circulating in our communities here. So it's something that people are keeping a very close eye on, and we'll need to kind of watch closely going forward. The other thing is the vaccines are a fantastic tool to reduce the infection in our communities, but it doesn't mean that we can shut the light switch off on all the other things we've been doing for the past year in terms of masking, hand washing, avoiding crowds, and staying home if we're feeling ill. We're really kind of in a race against these variants. And so keeping transmission down while accelerating the administration of vaccines over these next few weeks, it's really going to be critical in deciding what direction things go for us in the next few months to come.
Let's bring on a caller now at 800-642-1234. Rebecca is with us in Woodstock, Illinois. Rebecca, hi.
Hi, how are you today?
Good.
Thanks for taking my call. My question is, I have a 12-year-old relative who is a type 1 diabetic, and I know her family would like her to be able to be vaccinated. I was wondering if that is something, when they're looking at this younger population, are they looking at people like her?
Interesting. Rebecca, thanks for the call. Dr. Rajapakse.
That's a great question, Rebecca. The different trials are enrolling different children. Primarily, they're focusing on healthy children, but certainly different children with different underlying medical conditions can be at higher risk for serious COVID-19 illness and infections. And so I haven't seen the exact exclusion criteria or whether there are certain specific conditions that they are excluding, but certainly vaccination would be an important part of preventative strategy, especially for children who have other underlying conditions that may increase their risk of having severe illness.
Thanks a lot for that call. I appreciate it at 800-642-1234. I appreciate that. And you can join in with your questions and comments, by the way, at 800-642-1234. Dr. Rajapakse, as you were just mentioning, the vaccines are out, and that's great news. But we're in this race against those variants. Are you seeing COVID fatigue out there with people looking at the good news and maybe being too quick to want to give up the masks and the other precautions you were just saying we really need to still keep for now?
Yeah, I think we're definitely seeing this, and I'll admit I'm feeling it a bit myself as
Sure.
well. I think we've all been at this for the past year. It's been really challenging to not be able to see friends and loved ones and go out and eat in restaurants and get together with people we care about. And I think we're all kind of getting to the end of our rope with all of this. But as I mentioned, especially with these variants, which certainly seem to be more transmissible, this is a really critical time, because if we play the next few weeks and months wrong, we could end up with a fourth wave here. And so we really need to accelerate vaccine administration, and so that we protect as many people in the community as possible. But until we achieve really high levels of vaccine-related immunity in our communities, we all really need to continue to adhere to the other preventative measures like masking, washing your hands, avoiding crowded places, just because at this point, even though millions of people have been vaccinated, not everyone has that full protection, and there's still risk of transmitting and spreading the infection amongst people who are non-immune. And potentially even with vaccination, one of the things is that asymptomatic or very mild infections, you may still have the ability to transmit the infection. And so that's why we're still asking everyone, even if they have had their vaccines, when they're out in public, to continue to really follow all of the advice we've all been following over the past year. And if we can do that now, I think we have a much better chance of bringing the pandemic to an end and kind of throwing the switch and opening up everything and putting all those other preventative precautions aside right now is kind of like giving up at the end of a marathon when the finish line is in sight. And so we really don't want to do that because we're very fortunate to have these vaccines. We just need time to get enough immunity in our communities so that we can slowly then start to peel back some of these restrictive things we've had to do to protect everyone over the last year.
Talking to Dr. Napuni Rajapakse, pediatric infectious disease physician at Mayo Clinic Children's Center, looking at the latest on vaccines, some of the latest research, and research looking into their effectiveness in kids, younger and younger ages. Part, our guest says, of the effort to get overall herd immunity for the population at large. Dr. Rajapakse, do we know why COVID didn't seem to hit kids as hard as grown-ups, and especially as seniors? Not all viral diseases play out that way. Do we have a sense of why that is this time around?
Yeah, so that's a really great question, Rob. There certainly are viruses that we're very familiar with. So if we think about influenza or another common virus called RSV or respiratory syncytial virus, those really tend to affect the extremes of age. So especially young children, and then the elderly seem to be the ones who get most sick with this. So back last spring, when we were just learning about this infection, our fear was that we may see a similar phenomenon with SARS coronavirus 2. We really have not seen that as things have played out over the past year. There's a few theories about why this may be. Certain differences in how kids' immune systems fight this infection seem to help to give them some protection from having more serious illness. They seem to be able to clear the infection more easily than adults, and therefore they have a lower risk of having a severe disease. The receptor that the virus uses to get into our cells, kids seem to have a different distribution of it, such that they don't seem to have very much of that receptor down low in their lungs, which is where the virus causes a predominant disease. And so that may lend them some protective effect as well. So there's a lot of different reasons that likely play into this. I don't think it's going to be one thing. It'll probably be a combination of different factors as to why kids have fared reasonably well through this pandemic.
Well, those receptors you mentioned, we got an email from Richard who's wondering about kids and their ACE or ACE receptors. Is that the ones you happen to be talking about there?
Yeah, those are the ones. So that's the kind of lock that the virus uses to as a key to get into our cells. So that's how it enters the cells in our body.
So again, it feels like we've been living with this thing forever. It's still fairly new in the scope of human history. What kind of questions, Dr. Rajapakse, are still open and unanswered that you're looking forward to seeing answers to?
Yeah, so I'm, as a pediatric infectious disease specialist, really interested to see these results that are going to be coming out about the vaccine efficacy and safety in our pediatric age groups. Obviously, the toll has taken a toll on kids and families in kind of a different way than resulting in severe illness or hospitalization, but the impact on mental health of children has been profound, and the impacts it's had on education and physical activity and many other aspects of their daily lives has been incredible. And so we're really interested to see that these vaccines are working in them and safe so that we can get them protected and get our communities protected. I think watching to see these variants that are evolving and how that impacts transmission and rates of infection in different parts of the country will be very important in the coming weeks and months. How these impact the efficacy of our vaccines also will be an important thing to follow. And I think the questions about how long immunity lasts with the vaccines is a really important one for us to answer. That'll help us decide whether this is going to end up being a vaccine like the flu vaccine that we recommend people get every year, whether it gets rolled into our routine childhood immunization schedule, or what the best way to ensure people remain protected from this infection are. And so we really need that information in order to make some of those decisions. And so those are the things I'll be looking out for in the coming weeks and months.
Well, us too. Dr. Rajapakse, thank you so much for joining us again today.
Great. Thanks for having me.
Dr. Nipuni Rajapakse is a pediatric infectious disease physician at Mayo Clinic Children's Center. She joins us for a look at COVID vaccines and kids. Some new research finds at least one of the three vaccines out there looks quite safe and effective for kids 12 to 15, waiting on emergency approval from the FDA to have that actually happen out in the public.